Good morning. Welcome. Thank you to all who join us on our journey to the foot of the cross. May our spirits be refreshed as we continue to follow in the footsteps of our Lord. I would like to ask you to take a moment to fill out the ritual friendship cards. As always, they're an important way of communicating with Reverend Chris and Jackie, so appreciate you taking care of that. Our announcements are on the back of the bulletin. The minister's office hours are, as always, listed there. Wednesday, of course, Kids Club. Thursday and Sunday, the Sanctuary Choir are meeting. I'm sure they're well aware of that and busily working. Tuesday is our work day, again, 9 to noon, and always, as always, extra hands are appreciated. We are happy to say we're out of annual reports at the back, which means people have been picking them up. They were bright neon yellow, Reverend Chris said. And so if you did not receive it, thank you, George. Are there more back there, George? Okay. So if you didn't receive one and we run out back there, just let Jackie know and she will print more. So we're very pleased that people are picking up those copies. I do also want to note that the Easter flower order is in your bulletin, and they would be due next Sunday. So if you want to order flowers, please try to remember to get into the office by next Sunday. Are there any announcements that I may have overlooked at this time? Okay. Seeing none, let's welcome again to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment now in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and our minds to worship Him. This time the community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn will be in the brown hymnal. We'll be singing number 2, verses 1, 2, and 4 of How Great Thou Art. Thank you. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 95:1-3. Let's bow for the invocation followed by the Lord's Prayer, please. We come before you, God in heaven, as people of faith. We believe, so Lord, help our unbelief. We come before you as people of vision. We ask that you open our eyes to see clearly your will for our lives. We come before you as people of prayer and praise. Father, we ask our words and our thoughts be acceptable in your sight. For it is in your name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Be seated. If you would take the insert out of your bulletin, please. At this time, we will be doing the lighting of the Lenten cross. This Sunday of Lent celebrates Christ's transfiguration and his healing of the sick child of a Gentile woman. The two events are a prefiguring of Christ's resurrection, his day of triumph when he was raised by the Father into his kingship over the world, Jew and Gentile alike. Lord Jesus, with outstretched hands on the cross, you draw all to yourself. The Holy Cross shines in splendor.
In the cross is our victory and our strength.
May we be strengthened in our faith and be made more worthy of sharing in his glorious kingdom. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, with all our hearts we love you. The passion of your Son Jesus gives us the sure hope of freedom. Bring us by his rising to that goal promised by his victory. The everlasting joy of your heavenly kingdom. Amen. This time the community comes together to share our tithes and offerings, in acknowledgement that our possession of things is neither absolute or permanent. Let us share our morning offering at this time. Our offertory hymn in the Brown Hymnal will be number 634, Oh How I Love Jesus.
Thank you. these gifts, but also pledge that we will be careful and prayerful in these use of all you have given us. Amen.
Please be seated. This time the community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading will be Psalm 27 from your Old Testament portion of your pew Bible on page 503. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face do I seek, Lord. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversities, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The word of the Lord. Our anthem this morning by our sanctuary choir, Devotion.
God has a particular place for each one of us, a place where each of us will find our highest purpose, where we will thrive and reflect God's greatness. Don't settle for anything less than the best that God has to give you. Look for your place of blessing. How do we do that? By drawing closer to God, closer to Him on a daily basis.
welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville on this warm day, unseasonably warm day. I hope that you enjoyed yesterday. Yesterday was a gift from God. I hope that you rejoiced and made the most of it, as the psalmist reminds us. It can be difficult to have a little break, a beautiful spring day, and know that this week we're going to be heading back into winter, but I hope that you will take joy from this little period to know that spring is coming. It is on its way. We don't know exactly when it's going to get here, but it's on its way and it cannot be stopped. And it makes me think of the disciples right after the resurrection when things were seemingly going so well for them. And then they had to go back into the world that was still filled with hate and fear and violence. But they knew that the kingdom was coming. They knew that Jesus Christ was risen and nothing could stop him. As we gather every Sunday is an Easter Sunday for us. Every Sunday is a resurrection Sunday, even in the midst of the season of Lent. I hope that we get revitalized and re-energized from our time together and our time with God to know, as we go back out into the world with all of its many problems, the spring is coming. The Easter is coming. The sun is coming. It can't be stopped. So let us come together as we lift up our prayers to God with thanksgiving and with joy. As we want to pray this morning, we have some prayer requests to share. I was asked to pray this morning for someone who just was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And forgive me, Sonny, I left a note up in the classroom. What is her name? Pray for Michelle Twerty. Just recently diagnosed with breast cancer, about to undergo chemotherapy. I understand Simon has a prayer request for us today. Simon. Thank you, Simon, for sharing that with us this morning. Ben Ginley has been in Children's Hospital for a few days now. He has swelling in his lymph nodes, and I do not believe they have a diagnosis yet. So let's please pray for Ben at Children's Hospital. Dawn? Thank you, Don, for sharing that. If you ever have difficult moments in your life and it causes you to maybe turn away from God for a little bit, I hope you'll remember Don, because Don, last week, his house caught on fire, and this past week he had a car accident. And here he is in church giving thanks to God. So I hope you'll remember that. We give thanks for your testimony, John. Thank you, and we continue to lift you up into prayer and offer you our support in all things. Also, I want to give thanks. Tanya's husband, Bill, had been in the hospital this past week with an ulcer, and he is out home, and we want to pray for Bill Burley for his recovery. Are there others? Roxanne? Thank you for sharing that. She's referring to our senior youth group. Last week they made collages about the love of God. They are up in the Crossroads room, which we're also hoping to make a youth group room as well. And we also want to give thanks for our junior youth group, our kids club, all the children in our congregation who we teach them, but they also teach us. And so also thanks for all the Sunday school teachers and everybody who helps with this vital part of our ministry. Are there any others? Michelle? What's the baby's name? Give thanks for Ramona and celebrate another grandchild. And Brody got a cousin, so I'm sure he's thrilled. Yes. Pray for her for both those things. Thank you for sharing those today. I don't know if it's Teresa and Linda, or but we, which go, when do you go first? Thank you very much, and as always, too, please write down your prayer request on the prayer cards, and you can put them in the offering plate or the church back there, or just hand them to me, and that way we'll have the full names for our prayer list. And now, seeing none other, let's take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord. Lord of the wintertime and Lord of the spring, Lord of every waking hour, help us during this hour that we have set aside for you. But we confess that oftentimes we are here and we are somewhere else, thinking about what must be done at work tomorrow, thinking about what must be done at home this evening. Help us in this time to set aside anything that distracts us from our worship. Help us to remove any arrogance that would close our minds from your word that you are trying to teach us. Help us to suppress any selfishness that would paralyze our wills of following you. That we may follow you, Lord, willingly and happily. That we may make a healing and positive impact on your world as we spread your gospel. We are thankful, Lord, as we come together that you make all things new. We are grateful for the leading of your Holy Spirit. Grateful that you prod us and challenge us and lead us to places we would not go on our own. Thankful that you are not satisfied with us just as we are, but call us to be something more. And yet, we know that you love us as we are, even when we fall short of your standards. We are grateful, Lord, for new insights to the meaning of the Christian life, and grateful for new avenues of service, grateful for minds open to truths that have been hidden from us before, grateful for the miracle of faith by which our lives are open to your power, grateful for the privilege of following your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world that we may know you closer, that we may follow him and know the way to you. As we gather in this time, we give thanks for all that you have done for us. We pray that you may do still more. And we lift up others, some who are here and some who are not, some in joy and some in concern, that they may know that you are with them and that you lead them, and that you rejoice with them and that you mourn with them, and that you bring all to you. We pray that you'll be with Patty in her surgery that she is awaiting. That you'll be with Debbie as she battles through leukemia. that you will be with Sharon as she awaits her appointment and the results from her blood test. That you are with Lawrence's family upon his passing. That you are with Bill as he recovers from his surgery. That you are with Don as he picks up the pieces of his life and he rebuilds. And that you are with Ben as he awaits a diagnosis from his doctor to be better and to get back to school and to his family and home. And that you be with Michelle as she begins her treatment to battle her breast cancer. All these people are in your need. We give you thanks that they are all in your care. May they know this. May this bring healing into their lives and comfort and peace and joy. To know that spring is coming for each of us in one way or another. And Lord, we give thanks for those for whom it has come early. For the Henschel family, on the birth of Ramona, we rejoice. What a wonderful blessing. We give thanks for Jimmy and his wife and their first child, that they may know the joy everlasting of a new child. For the children and the youth that you have given to this church, we give thanks. As they delight us with their knowledge and their learning, as they open our eyes to new aspects of your word, we rejoice. For all those who were sick and are now well, who were down and are now up, who were lost and have now been found, we rejoice. For you are doing wonderful things in this world. Help us to see those things and help us to mirror them, to spread them, to recreate them as best as possible. But above all, help us, Lord, to give thanks every time a blessing comes into our lives, that we may take none for granted, that each one may be counted, celebrated, and shared, just as you have shared the greatest blessing the world has ever known, your Son, Jesus Christ, who came that we may live and have life in abundance, this now and forevermore. We give you thanks, and we pray to you. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Hello, everybody. How are you today?
Good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. I want to talk to you today about a great character in the Bible. One of my favorites. Yeah, you guys scoot down this way. Simon, you scoot down all the way. There we go. Girls, can you make some room there? And one of the great characters in the Bible, his name is Wile E. Coyote. And he is fantastic all throughout the pages of the Bible. Do you know who he is? Because he's a Wile E. Coyote. The woodpecker? No. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen him? Have you read about him? Guess what? He's not really in the Bible. He's not. He's actually a cartoon character in the Bugs Bunny cartoons, and maybe you've seen him. What does he always do? What is his entire reason for existence?
To chase the Roadrunner.
All he wants to do is catch the Roadrunner. And if you've ever seen it, have you ever seen it, Brody? He does crazy things. He wants to eat him. And he does crazy things. He gets a jet rocket to catch him because the Roadrunner is fast. And he gets these shoes that bounce so he can bounce and catch him. And he gets TNT. And guess what happens? If you haven't seen it, I bet you can guess. Does he catch him?
No.
No. Something always goes wrong. It is funny to watch. you almost feel bad for him, except that you know that the reason he wants to catch him is, why, Brody? Because he can eat him. So you don't really want him to catch him. Yes. Yeah. He paints walls. He'll paint a mountainside with the black, and it looks like a tunnel entrance. And then what does it do? The Roadrunner goes right through the tunnel, and the coyote's like, how did that didn't work? So he tries it, and what happens? He gets hit. Well, as I said, he's not really in the Bible. But in the Bible, there is a fox who's always trying to catch a hen. Maybe you didn't know that. Do you know who the hen is? Jesus. Now, the reason I say that is because Jesus called himself that. He said, he's looking at the city of Jerusalem, and he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've always wanted to shout to you, just as a hen under her wing does with her chicks. Okay? This is something Jesus says. It's a metaphor he uses. He wants to welcome all the people. He wants to love them. So he calls himself a hen. Well, in the same story, hold on a second, in the same story, he refers to somebody as a fox. Do we know who that is? King Herod. Very good, very good. He calls King Herod a fox. Why? Well, we know that in nature. Almost. He's not quite, he doesn't want to eat him. But we do know in nature that foxes do like to catch the hens. And if they do, just like the wily coyote and the roadrunner, he wants to eat them. Well, Herod is always trying to catch Jesus, but he does not want to eat him. But why does Herod want to catch Jesus? Okay, he's evil, yes. Okay, so you said it because he's evil, and he said that if people listen to Jesus, they'll think that Jesus is the king. Did you have something you want to say, Hannah? Okay, so that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Herod is the king, right? I'm the king, okay? But he's not real popular, and some people start calling Jesus the king. Ooh, now this is a problem, right? So Herod's always trying to catch him. Yes. Hold on a second. You said Jesus had to be king because he never got caught, but here's the thing. He does, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Jesus does, right? He does get caught at the end, doesn't he? Because we know that at the end, we celebrate this every Easter, the soldiers come to the garden, and what do they do with Jesus? They arrest him. And where did they take him? They take him to see a bunch of people, one of whom is King Herod. And King Herod mocks him. He's like, oh, I gotcha. And then what happens? We know he goes, and he goes onto the cross, and he dies, and he goes into the tomb. But we know that he was the Son of God, and we know he has all this power. He's much more powerful than any crazy roadrunner. So why did Jesus get caught? We know that he let himself get caught, didn't we? Because he knew that they were coming. Why? Because we know that's not the end, right? We know that going down to the tomb is not the end. What happens after that? He comes back to life. It's this crazy miracle. It's this wonderful thing. And what does it do? It causes people to believe in Jesus. And they flip out. You're right. They're so excited. You're right. In other words, he needs to show them, because some people believe and a lot of people don't. So he allows himself to be caught so he can perform this amazing miracle, way better than anything else before, even better than running into the mountain and not getting hit by the wall, even better than that. If you think about it, right, the tomb is the same way. It's as if Herod painted this entrance onto the tomb thinking he's going to get Jesus, but Jesus goes in, and he comes back out. So Jesus allowed himself to get caught so that he could perform his most important and amazing miracle, and it convinces a lot more people that he really was who he said he was. Okay? Now, Herod has been gone for a long time. He was king for a while, and now he's gone. Okay? But Jesus, we still worship him, don't we? He's not here right now, but where is he? He's in heaven. And where else? He's in your heart. He's in your soul. And what do we call him? King of Kings. Okay? Better than King Herod. Better than any king that's ever been before. The fox eventually catches the hen, but the hen tricked the fox. He outfoxed the fox, didn't he? That's why we worship him, not because he was just so smart, but because he was so much better than anybody who's gone before. So I want you to remember that Jesus is the Son of God, but we also call him the King of Kings, okay? And he called himself a hen. He wants to what? Just like he said, welcome us under his wing, and that's why we love him so much. He is not a king who has power, who uses it to hurt us. He is the king who loves us above all other kings, okay? Thank you for listening. You can go to your class now. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35, and that is found on page 77 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Here begins the reading. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm sure that I do not have to tell you that in nature there are natural born enemies. All animals eat something else, and many of them eat other animals. And I've often wondered what causes one animal to find another one tasty. Now, as humans, we are omnivores. We eat both meat and plants. Basically, we eat all, and that is basically true. And although there are some animals who like to eat more than others, human beings can eat just about any animal and just about any plant that there is. Just about every animal is enjoyed by one culture or another. It pretty much is left up to local cultural taboos as to decide what animals are commonly eaten and what aren't. And the ones that are not enjoyed, if necessary, can be eaten. If you ever watched the TV show Survivor, you know this. People are put on an island and often end up eating things they never imagined they would. They may not enjoy them, but they can, if necessary, to survive. But this is not true with other animals. For most animals only eat certain other. And if that particular prey is not available to them, then they are seriously imperiled. And most of the time when an animal becomes endangered, it's because their food source is scarce. And rather than find some other animal to eat, even if it's not the preferred type, they begin to die off. If there are no mice or birds, the cat will be in trouble. If there are no field mice or rabbits, the hawk will go hungry. What is it that makes this specific one or two animals so much more appetizing than others? Whatever it is so vital to the animal's survival that if you were to put a hungry predator in the same room as its prey, you can guarantee before long the result. Two will enter, one will remain. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the wonderful great day of the Lord in which the lion shall lie down with the lamb. But today, if that happened, the lion, if he were hungry, would certainly be the only one to get up. Likewise, if a fox were to get into a hen house, it would be bad news for those hens. A hen is no match for the fox. Its only hope is to escape and to hide, an option that is unavailable to it in the confinement of the hen house. So, to a fox, it is like an all-you-can-eat pizza buffet is to me. There is no doubt that is going to end poorly for the hens, and it is going to be messy, and the fox is going to be full. all you can eat and soon to be eaten. From this fact has come the saying that the fox is in the hen house, the saying that we use whenever somebody is someplace that they want to do some damage to. It is a sentence that would strike the fear in the heart of any chicken farmer. It's also a saying that we do use whenever we do not trust who is in charge of something. We say this not only because it describes a situation wherein a person is able to have anything they want without resistance, but also because the fox is a very maligned animal. We don't keep them for pets. We don't raise them for food. We see them as predators, opportunistic, dangerous. The roots of this expression go back to the very early rabbinic days, the very early rabbinic literature, which uses the fox as a metaphor for destruction, and is probably because of the fear of the destruction a fox could wreak in an agrarian society. As I said, the farmers, they're not raising the foxes, they're raising the chickens, and the fox is nothing but bad news. In the same way that to the shepherds, the wolf is nothing but bad news. Even if the fox is no danger to the person, it's a danger to their livelihood. Foxes are also seen as wily and cunning, but even these attributes have a negative connotation because they are put to the use of sinister means. They are used for destruction. As demonstrated in the fables of Aesop, the fox shows up many times and it's never good. The fox tricks the raven into giving him its cheese when the fox slyly compliments the raven. Compliments his singing voice, and so the raven sings and in process loses his cheese. Maybe the most damning image of the fox is when Jesus uses him to describe King Herod, as in the passage of Luke that we've heard for today. This is the 13th chapter of Luke. We have not heard from Herod in a long time, pretty much since the beginning of the gospel, when Jesus was born. At the beginning of his life, Herod is immediately set up as the bad guy, the evil presence, the arch enemy. As such, he kind of disappoints because he disappears from the story for a long time, but he's always there, and when he does show up, he gets ugly. He had all the children killed after Jesus' birth, in the hopes of getting rid of him once and for all. And then he arrests and executes John the Baptist because of what he said. And now he rears his ugly head to once again threaten Jesus' life. When some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." It's interesting to see here that Pharisees are helping Jesus out. They aren't all bad. Their relationship is not always antagonistic. Just shows what kind of guy Herod is. Even the Pharisees are against him in this case. But it should be pointed out that this is actually not the same Herod as before. We're now about 30 or so years past the Christmas story. Herod the Great, as he was called, was king when Jesus was born, but now he has passed away and his son, Herod Antipas, is king. But it appears that an evil nature is also inherited by Antipas along with his first name. The Pharisees, meanwhile, did not need to tell Jesus to get away from there, there being the town of Bethany, very close to the city of Jerusalem, because Jesus is trying to get away from there. He had come to Bethany, which was outside of Jerusalem, to visit his friends Martha and Mary, and while there he engaged in a long list of teaching. He drew large crowds so that word came to Herod that Jesus was near. But Bethany was not the ultimate destination. So he was already planning to leave, except he was planning to get away from Bethany and going to Jerusalem, where Herod was currently residing. Jesus was not fleeing the fox. He was headed straight into the fox house. He is flipping the saying on its ear. He is the hen who wants to go directly to where the fox resides. Now, you would think that Jesus would come into this with strength and bluster, especially after he tells the Pharisees, "Go and tell that fox for me, listen. I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jesus knows what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. In a few weeks, we will celebrate Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphant entry into the city, and it will be joyous and wonderful, and we will know that it will end tragically. The hen will go to the fox house, and the hen will be slaughtered. And we know that Jesus knows this, but he has work to do. It is his goal to get to Jerusalem. He's got a few more things he wants to do on the way. He simply wants to send a message to Herod to know that, one, he knows what Herod wants. Two, he's not afraid of him. Three, he will go there himself in his own time, in his own way. Before he does that, he describes himself as a hen in this beautiful passage. It always moves me when he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I desire to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." What a beautiful passage. One, showing the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ for his children. Two, showing that he is unlike any king before. He comes to conquer, but not through power or might, but through love. And we know also it's heartbreaking because he knows what awaits him. And still he goes. But I also love it because it's such a strange comparison. Again, Jesus takes conventional wisdom and he turns it on his ear. If Herod is the fox, then Jesus should be the wolf. Jesus should be the lion, something much mightier than the fox. And yet Jesus is the hen. He is the lamb. He is innocent and loving. And he gets conquered. But yet through his love, he conquers all. An entire house of hens are powerless to stop one fox. And one hen all the more powerless to stop many foxes. But we know that Christ is certainly not powerless, and still he seems intent to let what will happen happen when he says, "Today, tomorrow, and on the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." We know that in the city of Jerusalem, Herod is not the only fox. We know that Pontius Pilate awaits. We know that the Sanhedrin awaits. We know that the Roman authorities await. That Jesus' own disciples await. And still he goes. I don't know why he says that here. Now. Outside of Jerusalem in a few weeks, months before he goes, finally. But he enters the fox house knowing full well how it is likely to end. And yet it does not end quite that way. We know that he is killed, not by Herod so much, but by all those who saw their expectations in him disappointed, and led by those who feared a man who promised the hope of a changed world so much that they filled the crowds with every lie and demonization possible to convince them to turn on him. But we know that he was not the ending, for God loved the world even while it hated him, and the death of Christ was followed by his resurrection, and the igniting of the faith which spread throughout the world and continues to this day, proving once and for all, at the end, that the hen outfoxed the fox. It's important for us because we are about to celebrate Easter. And we must also outfox the foxes of this world today. To do so is not to use the methods of the fox. There are those who seed division, who sow division. There are those who rile up the crowds with anger and hate. And still, we are called not to use cunning and deceitfulness, violence and division and intimidation, or any other such means. Like Christ before us, we are called to stand against those, to overcome hate with love, and fear with hope, and division with peace. And the reason that these tools work is because they are the tools that they're the last things that people would expect. We have to be hens who walk into the fox houses of this world to offer, to gather those together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And needless to say, this is not easy. It never has been, It never will be. But because we know Jesus did it, not only do we know that we should do it, we know it is possible. And we know that he will be with us in the doing. Even when we are rejected, even when we are cast out, we have Christ with us. And if we remember this, there will be no fox who will change us. A fox or two may change their nature, but it is we who must remain steadfast. If we can do this as others have, if we can do this as Christ himself did, we will not be the first, but we will be those who will live in the shelter of his wing. We go out into a world where the divisions are still there, where the fear is still there, where the powers that be are still there. There are 1,000 King Herods, and we know them in our communities, we know them in our places of work, we know them in our lives. But we defeat them not by being the way they were and are, but by being the way Christ was and is. Let us go as hens for Christ, so to speak. Let us go with the love that only he shared, knowing that it is by far the most powerful tool the world has ever known, and the only way to outfox the fox. Amen. And now the community gathers together around the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of your membership in this congregation, are invited to take the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. And let us join together in singing our communion hymn this morning from the brown hymnal, number 254, Near the Cross. this time of year can be a very difficult time of year because we're tired of the winter, and the snow when it first came might have been novel or even enjoyable, but we're tired of that, and yet spring is still far off, and we know it's still going to be a while before the flowers bloom and things are beautiful. So we're kind of in the middle, we're kind of stuck, and I think that sometimes we could have a day like we did yesterday, and it could give us joy and encourage for a little while, but it could also tease us and drive us crazy. I think that sometimes that is how it is as we follow Jesus Christ. Because we can come together in this time and we can get revitalized or renewed, but also we can go out into the world again, and that peace that we found can be so quickly and easily shattered. There's so many frustrations and roadblocks that we come up against that oftentimes the peace of Sunday is followed by the aggravation of Monday. And sometimes that aggravation of Monday is made all the worse by the fact that it seemed like we had it together before. Jesus Christ came to bring the kingdom of God near. He said that himself. And sometimes that gives us hope, but sometimes it frustrates us because he brings it near, and then it seems that it's so far away. But I don't think that was his intention, to tease us and take it away, but to show us, first off, what it can be like, and what we can be like, and also to show us how far still we have to go. So he comes and is with us for a while, and he gives us a glimpse of the kingdom, and then he leaves and calls us to follow him to where he went. And we do that in our life, but we also do that in our world. And we know that we are often very far away from where we need to be. Very far away from what Christ calls us to be and what Christ wants our world to be. But we should know that as long as we continue to follow him, we will get there. Individually, and collectively, eventually, we will get there. All that matters is that we continue to follow him to where he has gone and where he is calling us to go. And so we come together at this table and we give thanks for the glimpse that we have of the kingdom, that we know that a better world is possible, and that a better us is possible. And if we continue to follow, inevitable. Sometimes we are frustrated by seeing how far away we are from what we want things to be, but we need that as a goal so that we know not to stop now. We haven't arrived, but to continue to follow him one day at a time. And now this morning, let us pray.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the gift of life. Thank you for giving us the gift of your Son. And from Psalm 63, in the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy, and our right hand, and your right hand keeps us safe.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me, that on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. After he gave thanks for it, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup. After having blessed it, he poured it out and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me." For as long as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now the community responds to the word of God. If any gathered here wish to rededicate your life to God, to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is in the brown hymnal, number 402. O Jesus, I have promised, verses 1 and 3. Let us stand as we sing. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. Go forth with the confidence that when everything seems dark, God is your light. When all seems futile, God is your hope. When all seems lost, God is your compass. Amen.